Power. And if you back that up with the idea that just playing those great songs in your great live band is enough reward for you, then you're f***ing set. But you gotta be badass. You just have to be really good.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Traveling these wide roads for so long, my heart's been far from you, 10,000 miles gone. Oh, I want to come here and give you every part of me, but there's blood on my hands and my lips are unclean. In my darkness, I remember Mama's words reoccur to me. Surrender to the good Lord, and He'll wipe your slate clean. Take me to your river. High. as a man with many crimes come up for air. As my sins flow down the Jordan, oh, I want to come here and give you every part of me. But there's blood on my hands and my lips are unclean. Take me to your river. I wanna go. Take me to your river.
My next guest is kind of fun to find out about him because we have the same friend group. And then my buddy Dan sent me this release from Wolf Hall Records. He says, hey, Gunner, we have Brian Cuddy on our label. And he sends me all the information, and I'm reading off the names that he's worked with. And it's like, you know, Paxton he's worked with, the great Aaron Goldstein, one of my favorite Jewish people on the planet. You know, he's recorded Threshold Studios on the line right now. A friend of 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 a friend is Brian Cudahy. Cudahy. It's Brian Cudahy.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the name.
Hey, man. So I'm having dinner with the wife, right? And she asked me, she says, who are you interviewing tonight? I said, Brian Cudahy. And she goes, Jim's boy? I'm like, Jim's boy? And I'm thinking, Jim's boy? I didn't read he was in a band called Jim's Boy. And I'm looking at him going, Jim? She goes, yeah, Jim Cuddy from Blue Rodeo. And I'm like, and I just looked at her. I'm just like, I think they're neighbors. That's about it. I don't think yeah, they're related. They might be neighbors. There might be a confusion in mail, but I don't think he's related to Jim Cuddy. So can I confidently tell her that you're not related to Blue Rodeo, Jim Cuddy?
Well, I'm glad you started there. You can't really get anywhere in Canadian music with this last name. that reference coming up. But yeah, there's a distant relation. Jim's my dad's second cousin. So,
dude, I am not going into that. There's just no way I'm telling her that.
We see each other once a year around Christmas. It's the Cuddy Christmas, so that's always good. He opened his home last year for us. He's a great guy. I mean, anyone who's in touch with him in the music industry has nothing but amazing things to say. So I feel lucky to have the distant relationship.
Buddy, I am not explaining any of that to her because then it's going to be an ongoing amount of questions, that sort of thing. I'm just going to say you're of no relation. Everyone else who's listening to our little chat, there you go. But I shouldn't have brought that up now. Now I've talked myself into a corner with her.
Anyway, our secret.
Our little secret and everyone else who listens to the radio show. So you, since 2016, you wrote West, you were playing with different people, and then you started up this thing called the King Cuddy Project. Tell me about that. Andy McGoffin produced that?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a big big group of friends, basically,
right,
trying to play music together.
Yeah.
I emphasize trying. I mean, it was a lot of our first sort of major band experiences were sort of through that project. It was kind of like a folky thing, I guess. It was the first band I ever fronted. So, you know, a lot of fun, banjo, fiddle, horns, you know, we threw everything at it.
Now, you say this is the first band you fronted. You were just primarily, you used to be in the background. You were like a bass player in the Invasions. Was that it?
Yeah, that's how I got started. So I'm like a little bit late to blooming in music, I guess. But
right.
Yeah, I met Alex, the lead singer of Invasions, way, way back at a party, and hit it off, and ended up playing bass with those guys for a long time, which was sort of how I kind of cut my teeth.
Right.
Sort of thing.
How did it make you feel from being someone in the background to being up front and center when everyone's watching a show? What was the difference for you?
Well, I always wanted to be there when I was in Invasion, and then once I was there, it was maybe a little bit more than you know, you want at some point. But
right.
You know, I think the thing that I really enjoyed is just the opportunity to be so much more involved in everything from songwriting all the way through to you know, the expression of that on stage. So you know, at the same time, like, both projects were, and I still really value, like, the camaraderie of a band. Like, I much prefer that to a solo kind of situation, directing people. You know, for me, music's about expressing it with your friends.
Just go away, but I
Yeah, well, you can't really sit in a van and drive by yourself and share stories with yourself. You kind of need a band around you to do that. But yeah, but that
well,
is...
You could,
but they'll pull you over at some point. But it's interesting you say about the camaraderie aspect of all of that, because that is a lot of joy for people who spend that much time together. And but when you're the person up front, and now you're a solo artist and you have other people playing with you, it is sort of like hard. Is it hard for you to let people know the vision of what you want with the music and how it's to be played, or do you just let whoever's playing with you just feel it out naturally?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. Like, for me, that's the thing that I've been trying to figure out.
Right? Oh, okay.
What's the right balance of control and collaboration, I guess, between those two things, right? Like, you know, I think in the King Cuddy project, for example, that's a good one where, you know, there's some demos that were just initial songs that, you know, I really love so much, and then, you know, you bring them to life as a band, it's a different thing. So, you know, for me, it's like, and more recently, it's been about like how do you get the truest version of a song through, you know, and in the best way possible, pick up, you know, the best contributions you can, without having to overprescribe them to people. You know what I mean? Because when you do that, you get such a clinical response, right? Nobody wants to play with a session musician who's being like inputted what to do. You may as well be, using the computer and you know, the garage band drummer, right?
It was a long time looking out on the way to the other side. You were outside by the time that I came by.
that someone can add to a certain part of a song or personality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that actually changes and shapes the sound too much. Some people, I mean, some artists that you and I read or we consume on through the media, you always hear those horror stories of like someone who's just a control freak to the point where they can't really play with anyone. And over the years, and I always use as an example, the dude from the Smashing Pumpkins, where they had to like get a break up, and he's got to talk to someone because he's just far too controlling, right? You know, so you don't want to become that person, but you can see that they have a passion for what they're writing, what they're doing, and if that's not the vision, then you know, they just can't do it. You're listening to Steel City Music. It's Gunnar here. My guest right now is Brian Cuddy. He has a new EP coming out. As of what's the date? Are you guys actually putting this out? Is that November 2nd that's coming up, Brian?
That's right, November 2nd, Day of the Dead.
November 2nd, Day of the Dead. Now, this is the third EP. Am I right on that?
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly. Is this an ongoing EP that you've been doing since 2018? Is this all part of the same project that you've been releasing over like every 2 years, or is this just something that's brand new?
No. Yeah. Exactly. So the idea behind the collection of EPs is that they're related. Like all of the songs were sort of written in the same time period. And, the idea was to try and put together different bands, sort of behind the helms of different producers, in different studios. That all kind of, what I noticed was basically through my experience was that, there tended to be little sort of scenes around each sort of genre of music, group of people, and sort of recording studio. So what I wanted to do is try and figure out, how to get the best of, or I should start again, how to essentially run through recording processes with different groups of players and with different producers sort of at the helm. So this is the third EP in the set of three.
Yeah.
is it some artists that I've chatted to over the years, when they get into this situation, they record two songs at this studio with one person, and then they'll go to another studio and they'll record so many songs with another person, and then they'll do another studio. And their biggest fear is that there's no cohesion to the flow of the music that they're putting out. There's just it's not making sense to them, recording in so many different places with so many different people. But it sounds to me that you weren't worried about that at all. You were just trying to get the best out of the songs with these different players and different scenarios.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the point is to see where the song goes in that environment and see what's left, right, of the right. of the initial song, and have it be a product of, you know, the people that play and you know, the recording process and the producer who, you know, who's at the helm, whether it's Aaron or Gavin or Ethan and Michael and Hamilton, right? Yeah. They all bring a very different flavor. Each of those songs, and you can hear it, you know, when you listen to them.
Well, you were kind of, to be honest, Guy, you're kind of lucky with, you kind of got a bit of a horseshoe in your ass, because with the people you're working with, they're all outstanding in each of their fields of what they do. So
yeah, that helps.
That helps, because I was thinking about this, and I'm like going, Jesus, man, this guy's really lucky with the people that he's working with, that he can have that much trust to go, hey, here's my song. We worked with on other stuff. I know that you can't make me mental by screwing this up. I mean, that's just great, because we've all heard the stuff that Aaron Goldstein's done before, and Keir at Threshold. I mean, he's been on fire with everything he's been doing over the last couple of years with some of these other acts. You're just very lucky. That's all I'm going to say about that.
You know, I agree. You know. I mean, I do feel in all of those environments, you know,
right.
with Aaron and with Gavin and with Mike, it always feels like a special privilege to be in the studio, you know, at any time. So,
okay, just off topic now. I mean, you probably didn't do this, but maybe you did. So I'm going to ask this. When you were at Threshold Studios, right, and, you know, and Keir was, like, doing something, and then he stopped and wanted you to listen to it, did you ever just look at him and go, I don't know, Goldstein wouldn't have done that? Did you ever zing him, like, with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of the benefit of this, is you get to play everyone off against each other, right?
He would have loved if you said that, just because it would just so funny. A rib like that would just be amazing, you know.
You know what? I feel like I'm getting to that point with Mike, but you know, I think I probably wasn't there at that time.
let's talk about Already Gone, this track that's your next release that's coming out, and it's out on Wellpel Records. How many songs are you going to release after this? Like, how many do we have in the bank, and how many singles are going to be coming out of this?
As part of Already Gone, we did two tracks with Mike. The B-side, we'll see if and when that one comes out. I think we were just so happy with Already Gone that we wanted to really focus on that one. So, you know, that's going to be the focus. And, you know, my good friend Alex from Invasion, so keeping on with my history, which is very important. I respect Alex a lot.
Yeah.
Is also an amazing videographer. So he's done a great video for the single, which will be coming out tomorrow. And so excited for people to sort of see the visual representation and the audio kind of together in one entire multimedia experience.
Okay, so tell me about working with Ethan Paxton on this and this song Already Gone and the other one.
Yes, I mean, Ethan is a great guy. I was lucky enough to meet him up in Collingwood at a folk fest back when bands were playing together. And I always, you know, wanted to work with him on something. And so, you know, I had messaged him, and he put together a great band and, you know, booked a time with Michael. And, you know, he was really instrumental in bringing this track together. So check out the Delta Days, check out Ethan Paxton. You know, I love his stuff, and felt lucky to be able to have him on this track. Hey, this is Brian Cuddy. You can check out my new song, Already Gone, on all digital formats, November 2nd.
It was a long time looking out on the way to the other side. You were outside by the time that I came by. It was a long time ago.
broadcasting across the Steel City. This is 101.5 The Hawk.
In this hour of Steel City Music, we have a chat later on with Hollowcore, Dan Shime, is how you say his name? Anyway, great guys, fun to talk to. I enjoy their music, and they have a new EP out, Turning Point, and we're going to spin some of those tracks and touch base with them. Taking us into that interview, some really cool music by request. You're going to hear everything from Tricky to Brittany Howard to Blinker the Star, and also Death from Above 1979, a great track. But here's a Gregory Alan Isaacoff covering Iron and Wine, the trapeze singer. It's just a beautiful rendition of it. So please enjoy on Steel City Music.
Remember me happily by the rosebush, laughing with bruises on my chin. The time when we counted every black car passing your house beneath the hill and up until someone caught us in the kitchen with maps, a mountain range, a piggy bank, a vision to remove to mention. Please remember me fondly. I heard from someone you're still pretty, and then they went on to say pearly gates had such eloquent graffiti, like we'll meet again and fuck the man and tell my mother not to worry, and angels with their great handshakes but always done in such a hurry. And please remember me at Halloween, making fools of all the neighbors, our faces painted white by midnight. We'd forgotten one another, and when the morning came, I was ashamed. Although now it seems so silly, that season left the world, and in return now you're lit up by the city. Remember me mistakenly from the window of the tallest tower, call and pass you by, and much too high to see the empty road at happy hour leave and resonate just like the gates around the hole. Kingdom with words like lost and found. Don't look down.